One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We've preached many singulars from this passage in the last weeks. Today, I want to talk about one faith. One faith. You may be seated. Earlier this year, my wife and I were traveling through an airport. We were in an airport terminal looking out the windows at some construction in a new wing in that terminal. I can't remember. It might have been Salt Lake City. And I was looking out the window. We had a good layover and trying to kill some time. And I just sat there. It was a beautiful day and was watching out the window as they poured concrete. And they were pouring concrete to support this brand new structure they were building. They had first, perhaps you've seen this, they were making huge pillars. And so they had these massive steel shaping mechanisms that have a name that I can't think of right now. And they're in circles. And they put those forms around there and they pour concrete. Then they put another level of forms and pour concrete, another level of forms, until there's these huge, tall pillars of concrete there. And then after that, I got there and I was watching. There was one that was completed, and so they were removing the steel forms from that pillar. And then around the base of the pillars, they'd not only poured concrete down in that cylinder, but now once they removed all the steel forms, they were pouring concrete down around that base and concrete to bring it level to the concrete all around it. They were pouring foundations. I found it fascinating. My wife, not so much. But I thought it was incredible as they were moving such massive amounts of material, pouring those foundations, making a sturdy foundation. I did a Google search this week over foundation. I thought I would get some material, some information, some descriptive things about foundations. I searched foundation. The first number of pages were all about cosmetics. Not what I was looking for. I went to a Wikipedia page where it said foundations, and on the Wikipedia page, you would not believe all the things that are categorized as foundations. There's a popular book series that's called Foundations. Foundation, believe it or not, is the name of three or four different bands in a variety of different genres. Foundation is the name of many albums for many different musical groups. Foundation, it's the name of some TV series, both here and in Great Britain. A foundation is a term used in the nonprofit world. It's also a legal term used to refer to evidence. As I just mentioned, it describes certain cosmetics. Finally, as I'm drilling down through the page, I find, hey, foundations are related to engineering. Maybe that's what I want. The foundation is the element or the structure that connects a building to the ground. It transfers loads from that building, that structure, to the ground. Foundations provide stability. They distribute the weight evenly over the surface. They anchor the structures against changing natural forces. We drove by a building on Rucker coming to church today, and my wife noticed it's for lease. Of course, it has been for 2 years. She noticed today that it's for lease. I said, that building was owned by the Everett Clinic. She said, why aren't they there anymore? I said, well, as I understand it, Priscilla Thompson used to work there. She said, they no longer want to be in that building because it is not structurally safe in an earthquake. They don't want to conduct medical practices in that building. However, they will lease the building to you. Because the foundation isn't set for an earthquake. That amazes me now. They can build foundations and buildings that will manage the forces of an earthquake. But a foundation is to handle against high winds, against other forces of nature. A foundation gives a level surface. It increases stability. The foundation has got to be right for a lasting, stable building. And a foundation has to be right if anybody is going to follow Jesus Christ successfully. There's got to be a right foundation. There has to be a solid foundation. Now, I'm not just making this up. It's not part of my idea, not just a neat connection of words. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul spoke to the followers in Corinth, and he wrote this: "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it." We need to pay attention how we build our lives on a godly foundation. Verse 11, then he writes this: "No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." In terms of being a disciple and a follower of Jesus, there are not multiple foundations. If I want to be a Christian, I want to pursue heaven in eternity, there aren't many standing points or starting points. There is one. There's one foundation, Jesus Christ. One and only one. No other foundation. When Paul established in the earlier text one faith, I want us to understand that as one foundation. One foundation. Paul reiterated his thoughts to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Even as Paul described the foundation of the apostles and prophets, in other words, the writings and the teachings of those New Testament followers, those 12 apostles, he even then said, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation of the foundation. You can't get around Jesus Christ being the foundation. And he goes on to say this in verse 21, "In whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." The clear connection, and he's talking to people who understood buildings. He's making an analogy that people could relate to. He said, look, if you're going to grow and develop and become the kind of human that I've designed you to be, then you will build your life on this one faith, this one foundation. There is no other foundation if I am going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If we're going to build a kingdom life, our foundation matters. Recently, an author by the name of David Zoll released a book entitled Seculosity. Subtitle says, "How Career, Parenting, Technology, Food, Politics, and Romance Became Our New Religion and What to Do About It." The title of the book, Seculosity, is a mashup of words, secular and religiosity, putting them together to make this point. Humanity has made religions out of secular ideals. Humanity's made religion out of secular ideals. And then he chooses some that he wants to talk about. His chapters identify societal substitutes for Jesus. And he talks about things like busyness and romance and parenting and technology and work and leisure and food and politics. Things that he identifies and argues that these are things that our culture is pursuing as a religion, though they are secular in and of themselves. In every chapter, he talks about how they aren't satisfying. And he writes this. He said, listen carefully, talking to others, discussing with people in our culture, and you'll hear the word enough. Enough. Everywhere and often. Especially when the people are talking about their anxiety or their loneliness or their exhaustion or division that plagues our place in time to tragic proportions. He goes on to say, you'll hear people scrambling to be successful enough, happy enough, thin enough, wealthy enough, influential enough, desired enough, charitable enough, woke enough, good enough. He finishes the thought by this saying, we believe that were we to reach some kind of benchmark in our minds, then our value and our vindication and love would be ours. Whatever we think enough is, if we ever got to enough, then we would be enough. If we achieved enough, if we gathered enough, we would be enough. Obviously, his writings have kind of sparked some things in my observation, and I'll take a few of things and offer them with some of my own for some considerations today. I think there are some alternate, substitute foundations that our society is trying to sell us. Substitute foundation of busyness. How many have heard somebody say to you this week, man, I am crazy busy? Hands up everywhere. Everybody's crazy busy. Crazy busy. Appointments, full calendars, long to-do lists, unfinished to-do lists, practices and dinners and household duties. We got stuff to get done. We got things begging for completion. It's this performance attitude that I can check off a greater list of to-dos than you can. Crazy, busy people. And I believe it's often amplified in the workplace. In days gone by, the majority of workers did so. They worked a job for simple reasons. They wanted to eat. They wanted a place to live. They wanted to put clothes on their kids' backs. That's why they wanted to work. Today, there are still some people who would like a job for those basic reasons. But more and more, workers in our day are thinking about work that has meaning. We want work that validates. We want to do something that makes a difference. We want to do something that has value in our lives. So we recognize the high performers in the workplace and we see they're valuable and we try to mimic what they're doing. They're important because their output is high. So if I can have that kind of output, I'll be important also. And when the matter, I can matter and I can be important if I will lead the office in pieces shipped or in accounts managed or sales secure. And so as a society, there's many people who treat this as their foundation. Crazy, busy people. We attempt to build worthwhile lives by long and detailed task lists. And if we can do enough, well then, we'll matter enough. And so there are people today that try to build their lives on busyness. And then there are other people, it's a big one today, relationships. try to build our lives on relationships. For some people, they don't have enough relationships and maybe never will. Others, it's too many relationships. Maybe you read the Seattle Times article. Some research came out this past week about the Seattle freeze. 40% of people in Seattle say, I've met enough people and I don't care if I meet any more. Interesting. For some, in relationships, it's the pursuit of romance. That's what Zoll recommended in his book, or recognized. For others, relationships, it's all about friendships. For others, relationships, it's about family. And we find meaning to our lives by the people that we know, the people that are close to us. We feel valued when we're valued by others. So we want some significant relationships in our lives. In our lives, we think they're good when our friends are good. Our lives matter when our families function well. And we know wholeness when we have enough friends who maintain deep enough relationships. For some people, the pursuit of acceptance, man, it's a powerful motivator. Actions, words, attitudes are all based on whether or not people will accept me. You know, if I was just connected to the right people, if my parents would have just given me enough encouragement, if our children would just recognize our loving investment. And so in relationships, many people seek approval and they desire validation. They're looking for meaning and purpose and value for living in relationships. It's a foundation that many people choose to build their lives upon. For others, welcome to the great Pacific Northwest. Leisure. It's all about leisure. Leisure as a lifestyle is a product of our wealthy nation. Third world countries have no idea what we deal with in terms of leisure. You know why there aren't professional sports teams other than soccer in so many countries around the world? Because people couldn't fathom spending their last 2 cents to go watch a game. But here in the United States of America, we're so stinking wealthy. We'll pay during the playoffs $150 for a parking spot to get close enough to the game. Can I get a witness? Leisure. It's a lifestyle because we are a wealthy and blessed nation. We've got disposable time, we got disposable income, and with both of them, we have freedom to have fun and to be entertained. It could be camping, it can be boating, it can be hiking, it can be days at the beach, it can be days in the mountains, it can be snow sports, it can be water sports, it can be sports played on fields, on courts, or on diamonds. There are people today who organize all of their energies and all of their efforts around leisure. There are people all around us, come on, you've met the folks, who are extremely frugal with their money. They save every penny and every nickel. And they work a whole bunch of jobs. They're working like 3 jobs at once, not making a lot of money. And as soon as they get X amount of dollars so they can climb Mount Rainier, they quit all their jobs and go climb the mountain for a month. That's the world we live in. They come back after a month smelling like the woods, clean up a little bit, crash in somebody's basement, get another 3 or 4 jobs, save every stinking penny they can until they can get in a van and go somewhere at a river and an outback place and a glacier somewhere, right? Because leisure is their foundation. Leisure is what they are about. Spare time is spent searching for the next adventure. Households in our communities, in our neighborhoods, spend thousands of dollars on youth sports. We search for meaning in physical prowess, in success at games. We want value in our abilities on the field, our stats, our trophies, because we won a game. For many, the ultimate leisure is retirement. There you go. Nothing to do on any given day but play golf, go RVing, go shopping, more relaxation. It just often you can have as enough fun as you could ever have as soon as you're retired. We want to find fulfillment and meaning, and so we're looking for having some fun. Leisure is what it's all about for some, and they make their foundations leisure, fun. Last one I'll address, just to get our minds thinking about the various things we can substitute for Jesus Christ. Appearance. Thanks to the exploding influence of social media, our culture is enamored with appearance. Character doesn't matter. How does the picture look is what matters. Appearance. How do I look? We snap pictures, we post pictures of idyllic homes, picturesque gardens. We share pictures of smiling families, of dream vacations, of perfect hair, of symmetrical faces, of desirable bodies. And how many are going to like this on my feed? How many are going to follow the life that I'm portraying as reality in my short posts online? The shy become bold when they can craft their appearance online. Validating words that they're not experiencing at home are sought from strangers in unknown places. Even not all those who craft their appearance online are shy or socially hindered. In fact, some of the most bold take their presentations to new extremes. The most hungry for approval of appearance are looking to be validated and increase their followers from 1,000 to 100,000 to 1,000,000 and beyond. Some hope, you know what, maybe I'll become an influencer and I'll grasp that hoped for personal meaning, looking for others to tell me that I matter. Does my life look good enough? And for many, appearance is the foundation that they look to, they stand on, they make decisions from in order to build their lives. These are accepted by many in our world and pursued by many. And this is not an exhaustive list. There's lots of things that people choose to establish their lives on that are not eternal. They don't last forever. These are alternate foundations. They substitute for what's really life is all about. None of them are Jesus Christ. None of the alternates that humans suggest compare. And without Jesus as foundation, our futures are in danger. Look at Proverbs. Wise man writes in Proverbs 10:25. He writes this: when the storms of life come, the wicked are whirled away, but the godly have a lasting foundation. When the storms of life come, listen, the way it's written, we know this, they will come. Storms will come. Trouble will come. It'll find everyone. And folks, can I just remind us this afternoon that our lives are no more stable and no more secure than the foundations we are building our lives upon. And maybe the reason me or my friends or people I know and watch, their lives are regularly thrown into tragedy and into an uproar, is because they have chosen to build their lives on these things that humanity and our society says are the greatest ever. But people keep getting knocked off their feet, and their families keep getting screwed up, and situations keep happening that storms of life blow them away. All the while, this remains. The godly have a lasting foundation. Can I just help us to appreciate today? We cannot expect a solid life built on fragile foundations. We can't expect all the kingdom blessings of the Word of God if we are building on insufficient foundations. Well, the Bible said this, and the Bible says that, and the Bible promises this. It does. For those who build here. Those promises are for those. Sometimes we think, you know what? Well, I read in the Bible, I know in the Bible, and people got their favorite little quotes about the Bible, yet they stand on one of these other foundations and want to claim. But Paul said, we have no other foundation. And folks wonder, I've built on these other things. Why is my life crashing? Why don't I have the blessing I want? Why isn't it working out? Because blessed lives are built on lasting foundations. Having built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Kingdom lives are built differently than non-kingdom lives. They're built on one foundation, one faith. Now here's the thing about foundations. Represented by concrete block today. Talk about the foundations I saw being poured at the airport for a new terminal. Foundations are designed to stay put. Foundations are designed to remain. Earthquake-proof foundations actually are made to have a little give, but it's within a parameter. They're made to give a little bit to keep that building staying erect and on top and not falling over. But foundations are anchors. Foundations are solid. But here's what people make the false idea. And they get fooled and they misunderstand. People have an experience with Jesus. They get together with some friends, they're talking about the Bible, they begin to pray, and they have a wonderful experience. They ask God to forgive them. They begin to worship and magnify God as people are praying and worshiping. They receive the Holy Spirit. They find a place and they're baptized in the name of Jesus. They start on this adventure of knowing Jesus Christ. And then instead of fully understanding that now this is my basis for everything, this is my foundation. Instead, we get this idea that, well, I got Jesus now. Let's go packing. And we think our foundation is portable. That as long as I carry it along with me, then everything will be fine. And so I want to carry Jesus with. And so I go right back to the foundation of busyness that I had before I knew Christ. And I'm thinking now I got Jesus in my left hand or my right. Surely everything's going to be fine. But no, I'm still making my decisions and my choices and my future and all my busyness. I'm trying to perform. I'm trying to find my value on everything else. And I want to go to God with my to-do list. And look how valuable I am. And the kingdom needs to be happy with me. But you know what? It's not rewarding. It's not fulfilling. There's not meaning. Or we go into the life of relationships. You know, can I just tell you something? That crazy concrete block is heavy. And you know what? If you try making a foundation portable, instead of letting it stay put, it becomes cumbersome and awkward. And oftentimes we just put it down. You know, living for Jesus is too much. It's too heavy. It drags me down. It weighs me down. You know what? Maybe we've got the wrong idea of what it means. He said, I want to be your foundation, and you want him to be a carry-on bag. And we carry Jesus into the foundation of relationships. And I tell you what saddens me is people who have an experience with Jesus Christ, but then they go right back to their same value of relationships, and they're establishing relationships, and they're engaging in relationships, and think it's supposed to work out good. Well, if it's crashing for all your peers who don't know Christ, why is it going to work for you now? You're making the decisions and the choices and the estimation. Everything is being based on the same process before. Jesus isn't your foundation. Or we go into leisure and we keep that as our God. I would like to know Christ more, but you know what? I'm boating again this weekend. I would like to get more connected with the disciples, but you know what? There's a game. I would love to get more involved. I really feel that I enjoy the power of God. You know what? But this hike, I've been wanting to do this thing. We still have the same values. Because we think that the foundation's portable. We get into this appearance business. I'm going to set this down because it's too heavy. But I'm fixing to preach a minute. You know, we buy into this lie in our world that appearance is everything. Whether it's our homes, our gardens, our faces, our hair, our bodies. I just want us to understand that our culture is absolutely defaming and cheating women. And men and women alike are believing into the lie that the woman who appears best is the one who is most willing to be most naked in public. And we're allowing Miley Cyrus and the Kardashians to define what good appearance is. And you know what? Some people who've had an experience with Christ still suffer with the same thing. Because rather than redefining what's beautiful and redefining what matters and redefining purpose inside our hearts, we decide to carry Jesus with us back to the appearance foundation. And then expect for it to work out and to go well. I just am here to remind us today that Jesus Christ is our one foundation, our one faith. And if we think we can make him portable, he's designed as a foundation. This is where everything starts for the disciple. This is where everything begins for the disciple. And instead, we want to take this and go right back to the ways we were before and the things we thought before and the choices we made before. And now all of a sudden, this foundation, which was never meant to be portable, is supposed to be some kind of magic genie that changes the outcomes of all of these other foundations. Listen, if you build your life on a weak foundation, it won't stand up to storms, period. It won't do that. We recognize the weight and we put Jesus down. It's too much of a hassle to carry him around. It's too inconvenient in everything else that I'm trying to do. And we put him down and we go right back to the same foundations we started with and the same foundations that people all around us are using also and are not living successfully in doing it. But those who truly follow Jesus, we know differently. He's the base for everything in our lives. We build our lives on him. How, preacher, can I have that foundation? How can I have that in my life? Luke chapter 6, Jesus makes it very clear. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Can I put that into some modern understanding? This is what Jesus is saying to the people all around him. Why are you standing on these other foundations and calling me Lord, Lord? And you're not doing what I'm saying. This is exactly what he's describing. People who thought they could make Christ portable. Jesus said, why are you doing that? Why do you call to me? And then he tells them how to correct it, how to straighten it out. This is Jesus. 47, whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it. It was founded on the rock. Verse 49, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Here's what Jesus said. Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them. Pretty straightforward direction from the Lord. Hear. Do. Straightforward directions. Simple, but not always easy. Do you want this foundation where you get the fullest, richest blessings of God? You want to enjoy family as God designed family. You want to enjoy career as God would bless career. You want to enjoy all these aspects as God would do. Then we stand and build on that foundation. That's where we go. Hear and do. Hear. Here's what disciples do. If I'm going to follow Jesus and I want that foundation, then I faithfully pursue all methods of hearing Him. Any way, anyhow, any moment, any time that I can hear Him, I'm pursuing, because I got to hear what He's saying. I'm aware of a situation where a parent, not in this congregation, is very frustrated with a child and says to this child, you need to let Jesus do some things in your life. However, for the past decade, child hasn't been active in a church, hasn't been active in a youth group, hasn't been active in a children's ministry. How would it be if mom and dad said, you know what, I want my kids to know math? Well, how are you going to teach them math? Well, randomly, you know, we'll talk about equations at the dinner table. That'll get her done. At some point, they're going to want to use money. And I'll teach them how to add. You want your kids to know English. How are they going to learn English? Well, you know, we'll talk it around the house. And I guess they'll pick it up. Will they learn how to read and write? Well, we'll do what we can. Are you going to have a set format where you do that? Where every day you study English? Where every day you do some reading? Where every day you're invested in that? No, you know, just as the need arises. And we chuckle and we snicker because that's ridiculous. We end up with a generation that could never add and never speak and never write sufficiently. Everybody with me? But we do that with discipleship and Christianity all the time. We think randomly our children will just get this. They'll just wake up someday and like, ta-da, Jesus is my Savior. Did you ever read the Bible at home? Was that a daily prospect? Did that happen every day? Did you pray with them every night before you went to sleep? Did you make sure they were involved in a fellowship of believers and disciples and regularly getting active in that stuff? Everybody with me? Because what we do is we want to go right back to the same way we've always done things, and I want to carry my God block along with me, and all of a sudden my magic genie Jesus is supposed to straighten everything out instead of me being responsible to build right here. 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 You know what? If we're not reading our Bibles or listening to Scripture every day, I just got no idea how in the world you expect to build on this foundation. It's so straightforward. Like I said, it's easy, it's simple, but it's not always easy. I got to be in the Word. Well, I didn't have time and I woke up late and I blah, 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 blah. We get all these lists of reasons where we're not hearing the Word. In the Word of God, come on. I like what Nick said. I don't like speeding up the book. I can't believe you said that, man. But reclaiming at commute time, windshield time, I think you said. Come on, reclaim that. Instead of some stupid radio station, play some audible Bible. Play some audible Scripture. Get the Word of God coming through your head. You get into a low point in your life and you think, I just don't know what God would say to me. But you haven't been reading your Bible the whole time. No wonder you don't have any Bible thoughts. You haven't been reading the Bible. Just read the Word. Just listen to the Word. Reclaim some of that time. Understand. On occasion, you can come to the house of God and I'm likely to say something about the Word of God. I try to have many scriptures on the screen so you recognize this isn't just me rattling about in my own opinions. But the Word of God. Here we go. You know what's starting this week? Faith groups. The chance to say, what's my next step in development? The chance to read and to study on a regular basis with other disciples. And then it says do. See, this is here's the deal right here. Do. One man said this years ago, and no doubt it's been repeated more times than you can count. Most of us are educated far beyond the level of our obedience. We know good and well what to do. We're just not doing it. I know what I should be doing to hear the Word. I'm just not doing it. You know when we stop doing it? When there's no trouble. I just want to hear when I'm in a bind. I just want to hear when things are crashing. All of a sudden, after I've built my life on leisure, after I've built my life on appearance, and things go wrong, I want to rub the magic foundation and hear a few words from the good stuff and straighten it out, will you? All the while, I still got my foot back on my old foundation. And my intention is I want to go back. And then, how come God let me get into this? It's always God's fault. God, let me get into this circumstance. I prayed that one time, and look what he's let me happen. Come on. Come on, I make any sense. Hear and do. You know what this is? Apply. What does it mean? How do we act on that? How do we respond to that? How do I put that into work in my life? How do I adapt that? How do I change? How do I delete some things? How do I add some things? How can I use this in my life today? Here you go. Here it comes. You expected it. Faith groups. Where you learn from fellow disciples. How do you apply that in your life? Huh, that's a good idea. How do you apply that in your life? Huh. That's a good idea. You've been serving God for 20 years successfully. Tell me how you applied that in your life. Huh, that's a good idea. But instead, we'd rather go on our own and be bullheaded. I'll figure this out. Really? Really? Do you remold tires every time they wear out on your car because you need to figure out a tire by yourself? Or you just go to Tires Direct or to Les Schwab and buy new tires? Learn from other people. Hear and do. It's simple, but not always easy. Even before these two things, here's what I find is the most important thing. Jesus started that out by saying, come to me. Come to me. These substitute foundations we've been using to find our value and our purpose and our meaning. People seek them for their reason for living, but it's not fulfilling. It seems like there's never enough. Back to the book by David Zoll. He says, the objects of our seculosity, food, romance, education, children, technology, and so on, aren't somehow bad. It's only when we lean on these things for enoughness, when we co-opt them for our self-justification or make them into arbiters of salvation that they turn toxic. Here's what he's saying, and this is true in Scripture. These aren't wrong in and of themselves. The Bible talks about being a good worker and a hard day's work and being worth your pay. Relationships, oh my. The Bible's not against relationships. The Bible's for them. God created marriage. God created the family. He's in favor of that. There's nothing wrong. Leisure? Read Genesis 1. Jesus rested. Appearance? In the Bible, he uses some different words, but he talks about walking circumspectly. In other words, people are investigating you. They're watching you. How do you appear? It is important, our appearance. These things matter. So what's the issue? The issue is when I substitute these for Jesus Christ. The issue is when I go to these to find my meaning and my value. I'm important because of one of these or something like them. I matter in this world because of one of these or something like them. But Jesus is saying this, come to me. It all starts when we bring these same things and we lay them down on this solid foundation. We recognize and understand that our value is not in our performance and those or anything else. Our value is in Jesus Christ. You and I matter because He says we matter. You and I are valuable because He loved us. You and I matter because He decided, you know what, I love them so much that I am going to leave heaven. I'm going to dwell on earth. I'm going to give my life as a sacrifice. I'm going to redeem them from their troubles. I'm going to wash away all their sins. You and I matter because He says we matter. So as disciples, we approach those things. We don't run from those things. We're not against those things. But we approach them on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I deal with them. I operate with them. I manage them according to the Word of God. I hear, what's the Bible got to say about this? What's Proverbs got to tell me about some wise living? What's Proverbs got to tell me about some relationships? Our value is not in those things. It's in because of Jesus Christ. Come to me. I ask us this afternoon, what are we living for? What are we living for? Where are we searching for meaning? Are we building our lives on Jesus Christ, or are we trying to carry Jesus back to the foundations we had before we knew Him? Or off to foundations that other friends or peers or family are pursuing. I just hope in this building everyone would hear Jesus today when He said this, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn from me, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. You know what rest is? Rest is resolution. Rest is satisfaction. Rest in Jesus Christ is an end to the tiresome pursuit of meaning and trying to fit in all this world's different foundations. Rest is to stop the rat race within the dead end substitute foundations. Rest is when we respond to Jesus' call, come to me. That's where rest is at. It's really simple. Come to Jesus, hear, and do. It's not always easy. But the foundation is always right. And there is only one. And as I desire the blessed life, then I build right here. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for the power of Your Word, for the clarity of Your Word, that Your Word, Lord, helps us day to day. Lord, that Your Word is just not something about heaven and something about eternity and something so far off that we can't apply the day to day. But there's so much truth in Your Word that helps every decision, every day that we live. I pray, Lord, that these words from this day will resonate in my mind and in my attitude in the days and weeks ahead. Help me to think about, Lord, how I'm making my choices, what I'm living for, how I'm finding meaning. I pray tonight, Lord, that when we lay our heads down in bed, that You begin to talk to us about the things that we're chasing and where we're trying to find value. I pray that this message, Lord, doesn't just talk to us right here and right now, but it keeps coming back into our minds, into our ears, into our spirits, that you would continue that call, come to me. Come to me. I pray, Lord, that each and every one would answer that call, would hear and begin to do, and so enjoy the blessing that serving you provides. Can you say in Jesus' name,